This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. Where to begin? Tons of games last night. But I guess the best feel-good story has to be the Sharks. They finally win a game, start the year, four-game losing streak. They go to Chicago, they play the Blackhawks. And the story in this one is Patrick Marleau. I had been asked the question yesterday, what kind of impact can Marleau have on the San Jose Sharks? And I kind of poo-pooed it only because he's 40 years old. This is a team that's got to really focus on the youth. But maybe it's just a return to the ice, whatever it was, but Marleau gets a couple of goals, and it's a really good feeling. And we've talked about this a lot on Game Misconduct, if you're new to it. I'm a big fan of Patrick Marleau, and he has played one Stanley Cup final in his career. Hasn't won a Stanley Cup, obviously. But he is a lock Hall of Famer. You know, he's been in the league since 97. And he has scored 553 goals, 615 assists, 1,168 points. He's just been a phenomenal player, but he doesn't leap to mind in this generation of players. Like Joe Thornton, slam dunk, but Marleau also is a slam dunk. And it'd be great if he ever got a chance to get the kick at the can. Thought maybe he'd be able to get in Toronto. A couple of pretty productive years, but Toronto just couldn't get past Boston. And I don't think the San Jose team is winning a Stanley Cup either. So he's probably going to go cupless in his career. And I know that's more of a goaltender thing, no cups and how much that might affect you for the Hall of Fame. But I just think that he's so underappreciated because he's played the majority of his career on the West Coast with games starting at 10:30. And outside of that 2016 run to the Stanley Cup final, you know, he's not gotten a lot of exposure as far as, you know, winning cups and all that. And he's kind of a quiet guy, doesn't cause a lot of trouble. And a lot of the attention is always on Joe Thornton for those San Jose teams when they were good. But Patrick Marleau coming back, getting the job done for the San Jose Sharks, a pretty good story. Burns gets his 200th National Hockey League goal as well. Came back from three different one-goal deficits. And I'm not going to kill Chicago right now because of the fact that they hadn't played in a week. Didn't seem to affect Philadelphia in their home opener, beat the Devils 4-0. But you knew that eventually San Jose was going to get there. There's just too much talent on this team not to win. It was just a law of averages type of situation. And boy, did they hang on for dear life. But, you know, Marleau's goal at 17:46 of the second period tied it, which was a great play. And Goodrow, one of those guys we want to see a little bit more of, one of those young players getting that opportunity scores early in the third period. And the way that game was going, and I watched a lot of this because I had San Jose with the money line for my ice picks. So I was really like focused on that game to see if they'd hold on. I was not expecting that to be the last goal. It just seemed like goals were just going to be a plenty, and that if San Jose was going to win it, maybe they'd win it in overtime or in the shootout. Really surprised they were able to hold on and win. So a good win for the San Jose Sharks. Maybe the other game of the night, the Avalanche, 3-0 to start the season, beat the Bruins 4-2. Bruins can't really hang their head. They did blow a 2-0 lead in this one, but the Avalanche are really good, especially at home. And for Boston to start on the West Coast for their first four games, to win three of the four, I think they've got to be pretty satisfied. Very winnable game when they come home against New Jersey. So I think Boston is fine there. A little bit of a surprise, I guess, for the Golden Knights, splitting the first two games of the season and Arizona getting their first win of the year against what many people believe to be the best team in the National Hockey League. Grantland and Schmaltz get the first two goals to take a 2-0 lead. Then Theodore scores with 5 seconds to go in the first period. So you're thinking, all right, that's going to stabilize things. Vegas is going to have the Coyotes reeling. And that wasn't the case. Grantland scores his second in the second period. Jamerson gets his first of the year, and they are able to coast in the third period to be able to get the win. And give the Golden Knights credit. They had 38 shots on goal in this one. But the Coyotes would not be denied. Kemper, great job making 37 saves for the victory. So maybe Vegas just ran into a hot goaltender, whatever, but that's a good first win for the Coyotes. Another great game. Flames beat the Stars in the shootout 3-2. So Dallas sitting there at 1-3-1. Can't be too comfortable there. They get their first victory of the season in overtime earlier in the week. But Rittich makes 34 saves. Dallas blows the two-goal lead. But But you know what? Still a really good point for the Dallas Stars, and a better 2 points for the Flames after having a disappointing outing against the Los Angeles Kings. Come back 2-1-1 to start the season there. Jets beat the Wild 5-2 in their home opener after splitting the four games on the East Coast. Line A's got a 4-point night for Winnipeg. It's going to be a tough, long year for the Minnesota Wild for sure. So you knew they were walking into a buzzsaw with Winnipeg's home opener. Wheeler's off to a tremendous start. Wheeler had his third goal of the season that tied it after Hartman had given Minnesota the 1-0 lead going into the second period. But Line A's now got a couple of goals. Of course, that top line's really clicking. You throw Line A pretty much on the first or second line. There's not any issues with the Jets as far as their forwards are concerned. Can they keep the puck out of the net for sure is going to be the question. Lost this game on the money line last time. I only lost. I had the over-under and the Leafs-Lightning. We'll get to that in a second. But the Capitals had a 4-2 lead going in the third period. I look golden in this one. But Nashville scores four goals in the third period, and they hang on for the 6-5 win. So after Oshie had made it a 5-4 game, so what happened in this one, Capitals blow the 4-2 lead. Johansson and Duchesne get the goals to tie it at 4, but then Oshie scores halfway through the third period to retake the lead 5-4. But then Nashville scores the next two goals 4 minutes later. Bonino gets his first of the year, and then Ekholm scores just 28 seconds later for his second of the year, and they threw the kitchen sink at Rene trying to get the tying goal. Couldn't do it, but only 26 shots on goal total for the Washington Capitals, 38 for the Predators. So give the Predators credit. They have never really, in my opinion, been a dominant home ice team over the last couple of years, but they started out with a four-game homestand, won three of the four games, so that's pretty good. The Blues toy with the Senators, but they end up winning the game by the final score of 6-4. Ottawa jumps out to a quick two-goal lead, but then the St. Louis Blues come right back to tie it up at 2. Tierney gets his first of the year to make it 3-2 going into the third period, and then it was all St. Louis the rest of the way, scoring three of the four goals. Perron ended up finishing up with two goals. Braden Schenn with a brand-new contract gets his third of the year. Duclair did get a goal to make it 4-4 in the third period, but just too much St. Louis Blues, as then O'Reilly scores the last goal to finish it up. 6-4 was the final in that one. 37 shots on goal for the Blues. Jake Allen, not great, but does the job. Nilsson gets the start for the Ottawa Senators and ends up giving up the five goals, including one into the empty net. So a nice spirited effort for the Ottawa Senators, 0-3 to start the season. I don't think anybody's surprised there. Pittsburgh beats the Ducks. That final turns out to be 2-1. Ducks lose for the first time this year. Crosby has a goal and an assist, so responsible for the two goals there. Gensel gets the game winner, 7:24 in. So that's a big win for the Pittsburgh Penguins, who were outshot 32-28 in this one. But a good job by the goaltending of Matt Murray as he faced 32 shots, made 31 saves for the win. Pittsburgh, of course, limping with their injuries, but they're home against the Duck team that was kind of due to lose. So that's a nice win for Pittsburgh. All their trouble to stir 2-2 on the season. Devils still looking for their first win. 0-2-2 on the year after starting 4-0 last year. But the Oilers are really the story. They're off to a 4-0 start to the season. They'll be at Madison Square Garden tomorrow afternoon. I'll be calling that game with Pete Stemkowski. So Edmonton looking to come in and sweep the tri-state area, start 5-0. Devils get the goal from Palmieri, his second, to make it 1-0. Draisaitl on a gorgeous tic-tac-toe pass from Nurse and Cassian tie that game up at 1. And there we stay until Gusev gets his second. He's been good for the Devils with less than 6 minutes to play in the second period, makes it 2-1. But then James Neal gets his seventh. Think of that. James Neal, 7 goals on the year. Another late goal for New Jersey, 28 ticks on the clock in the second period. That's been an Achilles heel for the Devils now for a few years, of not being able to close out periods. And I think it does mean something. You know, they gave up the late goal to Winnipeg, if you remember, in the second period back last Friday, and it didn't look like it was a big deal. 4-1 game, it was 4-0, make it 4-1. But it does change the attitude. It does create some momentum. You go into the room, you score that goal if you're Edmonton, you feel good, you tied the game up at two on the power play, and the Devils feel like, you know, we had a really good start to the game, nice crowd, everything's looking good, and then you kind of feel negative going into that third period. But give the Devils credit, they score late on the Severson goal, so it looks like they're fine with about 4.5 minutes to go, but you get this Edmonton team with all this firepower to get that extra attacker. Boy, they're going to be fun to watch this year, but especially when they're on the power play, especially when they got the extra attacker, and then Connor McDavid scores what many believe is kind of a controversial goal. You know, what happened, he gets the deflection, and it looks like that it's going to be caught up in Blackwood's pads, and you hear a whistle, and then the goal is scored. But, again, the rule, and a lot of fans get confused about this, is once the official loses sight of the puck, it's his obligation to blow the whistle. But if everybody in the arena loses sight of the puck, but there is an official that still sees it, then he doesn't blow the whistle. He felt it was loose between the pads. And I think what really killed Blackwood on this one, if he had closed the pads, I think they blow the whistle. But his pads were open, allowing the puck to be exposed. And what happens is McDavid fishes it out, scores the goal. Now, looking at the replay, the whistle did seem to blow before the goal was scored. They did go to review it, but in the determination of the officials, that was a goal that counted. I guess what was kind of confusing to me watching it is there was no pointing to the net when the goal was scored. The officials get together. Then they announce to the crowd that it's going to be reviewed and that the call on the ice is a goal. But that wasn't – I didn't at least see the signification that it was a goal at the time. So it's one of those where I had a feeling if they didn't allow the goal – replay wasn't going to change it, kind of those conclusive situations. It burns the Devils, and then they get to the shootout, and just listen, Edmonton is just way too skilled not to cash in there, but the only goal ends up being Leon Draisaitl in that third round. So Edmonton now 4-0 to start the season, and we'll get a chance to see them live coming up at Madison Square Garden tomorrow. Red Wings with a 4-2 win over the Montreal Canadiens. This Detroit team is good. I mean, that's the first time they won at the Bell Center in regulation since December of 2007. I mean, just ridiculous. And Bernier looks great, making 33 saves. Mantha again gets another goal. He's just been unbelievable this year as he scores the power play goal that gives Detroit the lead for good at 15:38 of the second period. He's got 6 goals on the season. Just a tremendous start to the year for Detroit, who many people, myself included, had them on the outside looking in for the playoffs, but we'll see if this quick start can stick. And I had the over-under at 6.5 goals for the Leafs and the Lightning. I'm going to bet the over a lot when Toronto plays. I had the over in this one by the conclusion of the first period. I mean, that's how crazy this game was to start. Lightning had a 4-3 lead after one period of play. 3-point night for Point as he gets his season debut. 4 points for Kucherov. 4 points for Stamkos. Just an unbelievable offensive performance by the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, hey, listen, Toronto, they're 2-2-1 to start the season. They played an inordinate amount of games early. But the one thing is very clear. They can score with the best of them. They're gonna allow way too many goals for me. Now, I think they can be good. I think they're a team that can compete, but they've got to find a way to be able to tighten it up. I know the playoffs are a little bit different, but for them, it's especially going to be different. I mean, they can score with anybody, but a team can put a touchdown. For them to give up a touchdown at home, that's not good for the Leafs. So, that's something they want to try to definitely clean up. Only 3 games tonight in the NHL, Panthers and the Sabres. Sabres off to the 3-0-1 start. Panthers, a lot of people high on them, including myself, 1-2-0 to start the season. Ducks continue their Eastern swing. They'll be in Columbus to take on the Blue Jackets. Blue Jackets' only win has come against the Buffalo Sabres, and the Ducks suffering, of course, their first loss in Pittsburgh. And then the Islanders and Hurricanes. Hurricanes off to the perfect 4-0 start. Islanders stumbling a little bit out of the box at 1-2-0, losing two of their first 3 games. Their only win coming against Winnipeg. So that's a tough spot for the Islanders on the road, and the Hurricanes trying to get off to that 5-0 start. Let's hear from you at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. Let's start with Sam Diaz. He says, Don, in the Penguins game, a shot got stuck in Murray's sweater, went in right next to his neck and traveled to his back. He leaned forward before the whistle was blown, but had he leaned back and crossed the line with the puck in his back, would that be a goal? It's an odd one with the jersey because we've seen with the glove, if the whole glove goes over the line, they will call it a goal, because obviously if the puck is in the glove and the glove is over the line, then it has to be a goal. Not sure what would be the situation with the jersey, because it's probably not as much a foregone conclusion, not seeing the puck, not knowing exactly where it is in the jersey. I'm not really sure how it would end up working out, but a good call by you, and maybe I'll ask somebody or take a look at that replay again to just see what would end up happening in that situation. Forever TH says, other than Carter Hart, what are some of the young elite prospects on the goalie side? Also, are the Penguins so far the most confusing team to figure out to start the season? Well, try to get a little bit more information on the young goaltenders, because, you know, Hart to me is the biggest one. We saw Binnington, of course, win a Stanley Cup, and he got called up, but younger goaltender still kind of in the minor leagues. We've seen Georgiev with the Rangers. Savoykin is down in the minor leagues. He looks like he's going to be a pretty hot prospect as well. So I'll try to collect those names for you. As far as the Penguins are concerned, listen, when you're losing Malkin, Bukestad, I mean, they lost a couple of players via free agency. You know, it's going to take a little time. Crosby didn't start the year at 100%. So I think the confusion lies in that they're just so banged up right now that it's really tough to put a finger on it. But yet they're 2-2 to start the season, so can't call it a disaster. A lot of people talking about the Devils here. Chris wants to talk about them. Troy wants to talk about them. Chris says, hi, Don, it's early, but how much time do you give the Devils to turn this around before they start considering trading Hall? Well, I think they'll give it a little bit more time than October or November. I don't think you completely knock yourself out of it. Remember, the St. Louis Blues last year, who were the worst team in the NHL in January, kind of set the precedent where, when does anybody think they're out of it, right? And listen, the Devils are also in the business of trying to sell a product. So they make all these moves because they want to sell tickets. They want to stay relevant in a very busy New York, New Jersey landscape. And knowing that you could still trade him at the deadline, I still think that's going to end up being a deadline deal. I do. Troy says, as a Devils fan, I'm concerned about this start. I'd like to see the Coach Hein give more time to work with this roster. Regardless, goaltending needs to improve. Do you think they'll ask Brodeur to get involved with this like he did in St. Louis? I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, I don't know what his appetite is to kind of get into that coaching side of things. I mean, there's a reason why he tried to get on the general manager side. I think that's where he wants to focus his time. But when you've got the greatest goaltender in franchise history, one of the 2-3 greatest goaltenders in history of the sport, why wouldn't you want to try to tap into that? But as far as John Hines is concerned, my worry for him would be, when you go and get all this talent, and again, you're trying to sell your fan base that you've turned things around, it's really easy to throw some chum at the fans and fire the coach. I think Ray Shearer was committed. They just gave Hines a contract extension not too long ago. But if things start to happen, if attendance starts to sag, I mean, they didn't sell out the game against Edmonton, but they still almost had 15,000 fans for, you know, during the week, and when the New York Giants are playing a football game, it's not awful. But if you start to see attendance dip, if interest is laxed, then that's always kind of an indication. I'd be very worried for John Hines' future right now. Mark S. says, can the long schedule break impact Rangers, and what's your take on the amazing start for Mika Zibanejad? Well, to get a week off, it ticked off the Rangers. They're upset about it. So could it affect them? Sure. You're going up against a fast-paced team, had just played on Thursday, coming up tomorrow afternoon. Could rust set in? I don't know, but it bothered them, and I guess the reason it bothered the coach is for the exact thing that you seem to be concerned about, Mark. Does it affect the slow start coming back? You play Saturday, and then you don't play again until the following Thursday, and then bang, you got 3 games in 4 nights. So that kind of Jekyll and Hyde schedule certainly can affect you. Here's the thing with Mika, all right? Mika is benefiting from the fact he's on a really productive line, all right? Buchnevich is starting to grow into his own here. You get a world-class talent in Panarin. That's going to benefit Mika. And Mika is also someone that hasn't gotten a lot of consideration for being great because the Rangers have missed the playoffs the last couple of years. He's had great years and seasons in which the Rangers haven't been very good. But I'll go back to what J.D. Smith, the head coach of the Ottawa Senators, said on Saturday after their morning skate, that on any given night, Mika could be one of the best players in the National Hockey League. And I agree with him. And maybe by the end of the year, he will be considered one of the top 5-6 players in the league. Is he Crosby? Is he McDavid? Is he, you know, as good as a McKinnon? Maybe a cusp below, but he is really emerging as one of the really, really good players in this league. There's no question. Tom says, remember when I said the Hawks defense couldn't be worse? Well, how about that? How do you blow four leads and let a 40-year-old who was playing mini stick with his kids a couple of days ago score two goals. I need to stop by the Rage Room in Philadelphia after that. Again, it didn't affect Philadelphia, but again, just like what the Rangers are going through, you play that one game, you sit a week, you're in the Czech Republic, you come back. I wouldn't judge anybody this early in the season, especially going through a schedule like that. James says, are you surprised at the slow starts with both the Islanders and the Devils have gotten off to? Yes and yes. But I will say a little less surprised for the Islanders because the Islanders didn't do a lot to change their roster. So maybe that's a reason. You know, sometimes the continuity makes you play better. But yeah, you play Washington to start the year. You know how good Washington is. This Edmonton team seems unstoppable. You know, so they're 4-0. So I wouldn't get too crazy. It's only three games. Aaron says, bigger statement made by the Oilers stealing another game or by the Devils blowing another lead? It's the Devils blowing another lead. Again, it's a problem. Give up a goal late in a second period. Give up a goal late in a game. There's a lot of problems there in New Jersey, and we'll see if it can get itself corrected because, again, the schedule is not going to get any easier for New Jersey. They got to go to Boston. They got to take on the Bruins for the home opener. That's a tough, even in your best situations, that's a very, very difficult task. And then you got the Panthers, who I think are a very good team. So, listen, the Devils are right now, I think, in a lot of trouble, and we'll have to just keep an eye on them. Well, we got a fun weekend. We'll be back with you again on Monday. Get back into the regular rotation with EJ Raddick. He'll be our Monday guest, so we'll talk to EJ, recap the weekend, get you set for the week. Want to get in touch with me? Best way to do that is at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. You can hear the game that I'll call tomorrow on 98.7 ESPN New York. You can also find that on SiriusXM because it's the Rangers' home game. I'll be calling the game between the Rangers and the Oilers, so check that out. That's a 1 o'clock faceoff at Madison Square Garden. So back with you again on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York and worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.